Do you believe that Jesus is alive, huh? Are you alive? Man, I'm glad to hear that. I want everyone to have a pulse, amen? All right? I want everybody to have a pulse. And hey, we've got about 100 and something people over in the gym. Isn't that great? So welcome to those of you in the gym. It's awesome. And I want to say hi to them and say we're really glad that they're watching over there on the live stream. And we are here to celebrate the greatest event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't when the Boston Red Sox broke the curse. That was not the greatest event in history. It wasn't when the Patriots won their sixth Super Bowl, all right, a few months ago. The greatest event in history was when Jesus, it's when Jesus beat death and whooped up on it, amen? That event changed everything. I mean, who remembers who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? I mean, it's like, I'd be guessing, I mean, probably the Patriots, right? They usually do. Who won the World Series 10 years ago? I don't know. But you know what? This event that we're talking about today happened 2,000 years ago, and we're still talking about it, and we're still celebrating it. And it's because it made possible for every human being to experience radical life change. Now, here at Crossroads, we study the Bible each week. We open up the Bible. We look into the Bible. And if you've got your Bible, you can go to 2 Timothy, which you can see the church Bibles are under the chairs. You're free to use those each week. We even put the page number for you to help you get there quickly. If you just want to listen, that's fine. But we're going to be in 2 Timothy 2. We've been going through the book of 2 Timothy. And our mission here at Crossroads is this. It's 13 words. This is our mission. Loving God and loving others by learning the Bible and living the Bible. We want the Bible to impact our everyday lives, you know, and that's what the message is about today. It's about having power to face everyday life. And in 2 Timothy 2, in verse 8, it's interesting there, if you look at that verse, verse number 8, Paul tells Timothy, young Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Hey, Timothy, don't forget Jesus rose from the dead. You're like, why would he remind him that Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, why would Timothy forget that? Would you guys agree that sometimes we forget important things? We do. I mean, on my wife's birthday, I ran into Starbucks. She's like, she's a cheap date, let me tell you. She doesn't drink coffee. She doesn't drink any of that stuff. She's like, just give me some ice water. Honey, you got it. She's like, no, you're going to forget, aren't you? I said, no. She said, it's my birthday. I said, I got it. I got this. I go in Starbucks. I get my coffee. I come bounding out. She looks at me. I just wanted some water. I'll go get it. I go back in, you know, to get the water. But we forget things. We forget things, important things sometimes. And so he's like, Timothy, don't forget that Jesus rose from the dead. Don't forget that. Truth is, we can go days maybe and not think about that. So you can kind of see why he reminded him. In chapter 1 of this book, you remember, he said Christ abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light. Immortality means you never die. So this event we're celebrating today made it possible for people like you and me to never die. Would you all agree that's a good thing? Amen? That's great news. Because it means that death's been beat. We just sung about that. Death has been arrested. Death has been beat. Death has been defeated by a person, by Jesus. So that means if you have Jesus living and dwelling inside of you, that means that you possess that same resurrection power that raised up Jesus from the dead. And that's what the Bible teaches. Every week we put verses in your handout kind of to save time. And I've got some verses. Would you look at it with me? And if you don't have a handout, maybe you can look off with the person next to you. But if you look at that, Romans 8, look what the Bible says. This is God's word. He says, he tells believers in Christ, he is encouraging them. He says, you're not in the flesh. He says, you're in the spirit. If the spirit of God dwells in you. He says, now, if any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, then he's not his. He doesn't belong to God. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. He says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead is going to quicken, he's going to make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So in your handout, what that verse is teaching us it says in your handout, is that I can have the Spirit of Christ living in me. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, I can have living in me. And that's pretty amazing. I mean, the question is this. Okay, here's the deal. Have you believed on Christ? Have you received Him? Have you received His Spirit? Does He now live inside of you? You say, well, you know what? Yeah, I've done that. Or you may be here today and you're like, I really don't understand that. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure I've ever done that. And you may be like, you know what? I've never really received Christ, but I do want Jesus Christ in my life. And by the end of this message, you're going to know exactly how to do that. But what does that mean in your everyday life? When we really unpack that concept of having Christ in our life, what does that mean to us? When you have Jesus Christ, when you have His resurrection power inside of you, something very radical happens at your innermost being. No longer are you spiritually dead in sin. The Bible teaches you now have power, resurrection power, to make good decisions, to have healthy relationships, to make healthy changes in your life that you need to make, to truly love God, to truly love people. It means that you have the power and the ability to do those things now. And that's why He said to him, Timothy, don't forget, remember, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Verse 8. Then, verse 22, look at that. In the same chapter, verse 22, now He's going to tell you what that looks like in your daily life. What does that mean to us, that resurrection life? And notice all the action verbs. There's things that we can now act. We can act in a different way. Verse 22, He says, flee youthful lust. Notice the action word, flee. Follow, action word, follow, righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Then He says, call on the Lord, more action, out of a pure heart. Hey, if we know Christ, we are now alive, and we can make good decisions for our life. Do you all believe that today, huh? We can now make some good decisions if we have Christ. Christ's resurrection means that I have some power now. I got some power. And because Christ is alive, I have the power, according to, and I want to break this down for you, this verse. What does it mean? What does verse 22 mean? Well, here's what it means. Number one, Christ's resurrection means that I have the power to remove garbage out of my life. And you know what? I've been preaching 25 years at this church, and I don't think we've ever had a blank be garbage before. That's the first time I think we've ever written in the word garbage. I didn't know how else to put it. It's like, man, that just describes it, you know? It's like garbage in my life. Hey, what's garbage day in your neighborhood? Wednesday? Friday?
Monday.
Mine's Monday. Yeah, Monday. Thursday. I want you guys to know I love garbage day. I do. I look forward to it. Because there's not a greater feeling than to have 2, 3, 4 trash cans and other junk out there. And you put all that junk out there on Monday. It's been accumulating. And then you come home from work Monday and it's gone. Oh, that's such a good feeling. You know, garbage day. Our trash cans are full of junk that we don't want to keep. We want it gone for good. We want it out of our lives. We don't ever want to see it again. It's like, I don't ever want to see that empty milk carton again. I don't want to ever see those apple peelings again. I don't ever want to see that rotten, moldy bologna that we forgot about in the back of the refrigerator ever again. Amen? Don't ever want to see it again. Get rid of it. We had a garage sale 2 weeks ago. I should say, let me rephrase that. Denise had a garage sale 2 weeks ago. And I said to her, I said, honey, whatever does not sell, it is going out to the curb for Monday trash day. And we're going to wave goodbye as it leaves because we don't ever want to see it again. She agreed with me. Question, don't you wish it was that easy in the rest of our lives? Stuff that's in our personal lives that's garbage, that's destructive, don't you wish we could just put it in a trash can? Gone. I mean, let's be honest. We've all got garbage in our lives. We know it's garbage. We know it doesn't belong. We know it's self-destructive. We all struggle with allowing that garbage to remain in our life and accumulate and overflow. It's like trash cans that overflow, you know. It's like, don't you hate it when your trash can is so full that you're taking it out to the curb and stuff's just falling out as you're dragging it? You got to go back and pick it all up. And say, and in our lives, that can happen to where garbage and trash just kind of starts running over in our life. And it can really destroy the quality of our lives. And that's what verse 22 is about when he says, flee youthful lust. You know, So much of our culture is predicated on appealing to people's lusts, their desires. You know, lust for more money, desire for more power, more pleasure, more stuff, more sex. And so much of it is designed to draw young people into it and to get them hooked when they're young. But don't think for a minute that only young people have youthful lusts. Nobody said amen right there. I didn't expect any amens right there. So. Any age person can struggle with youthful lust. I'm not going to look who that was. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, we think we're going to grow out of stuff, you know, and we don't. We think, you know, those lusts that we have when we're 18, well, we struggle then at 28 and 38 and 48 and 58 and 68, 78, 88, 98, 108. We're still struggling. And this is where the resurrection comes in. This is where the resurrection of Christ comes in. Once you know Christ, you don't have to succumb to youthful lusts. You don't have to allow the same old garbage to keep you in bondage, keep you enslaved, wreck and ruin relationships in your life. The resurrection power of Christ empowers you to flee. And you know what? That garbage in our life, it may be in the form of a self-destructive habit. It could be just, you know, people that are a bad influence in our life. It may be patterns of behavior that are just sabotaging our relationships in life, but we can't seem to stop. And if you know Christ, though, once you know Him, now you have the ability to flee, to remove that stuff that doesn't belong, that's hurting you, out of your life. In fact, at the bottom of your handout, look at that passage right there. Look what it teaches. 2 Corinthians 5, he says that Christ died for all on the cross, that they which live should not henceforth, in other words, from now on, live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. He rose again. Therefore, he says, if any man be in Christ, if you know Jesus, he says, you're a new creature. He says, old things are what? Passed away. All things are become what? New. When I think about fleeing youthful lust, I think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was a young man working for a guy named Potiphar. Potiphar's wife starts coming on to Joseph, wants to seduce Joseph into sin. And Joseph, she grabs a hold of him, and he so flees away from that temptation that he literally left his coat. She's left holding his coat because he fled. And I thought, what a vivid illustration of what Christ gives us the power to do in our daily lives. And then I think about in the New Testament in Acts 19, where Paul goes and preaches the good news of Jesus and His resurrection and His death on the cross to the city of Ephesus. And the Bible says that a bunch of people believed the message. They trusted Christ. And when they did that, this is so interesting. After they believed, the Bible says that they got all this stuff that was just like garbage in their life. They knew it didn't belong anymore. And they got all this stuff, and they literally all came together, all these believers in Christ. And the Bible says they burned all this stuff in front of the whole town. And they said that the value of the things they burned was 50,000 pieces of silver. But they didn't care about the money. They're like, you know what? We're getting this garbage out of our life now that we know Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong. We're getting rid of it. Jesus gives us the power to do that. But number two, the second thing is this. I want you to get this. Number two is that the resurrection of Christ gives us the power to replace the garbage that we get out with healthy things. Okay? So now we've got the power to replace it with healthy things. Now, let me just say this. Life can be tough. Amen? Life can be tough. It's like there's so much pain that we have to deal with. Yeah, physical pain, but then there's emotional pain. It's like that rejection you feel sometimes, maybe by your parents or someone that loved you. Maybe it was a spouse that left you, that rejected you. Maybe it was a broken relationship. You know, problems maybe like, you know, with people in your family, and you and people can hurt you, and it's just like, man, you just feel this pain, you know? And here's what happens, is that we don't want to have to feel the pain. Nobody likes pain. Even though pain is a part of life, and without pain, we can't appreciate the good times. But what we do is we don't want to feel the pain. We want to mask it. So we self-medicate ourselves. And it could be something like drugs and alcohol, but it might not be that. It may be something like eating or purging or cutting or sleeping or sex or TV. It could be a number of things where we're trying to dull the pain, mask the pain, cover the pain. Jesus Christ gives us the power to not only get the garbage out of our life, but then to replace it with healthy and productive things. And that's what verse 22 is also about. Look at it with me. There's four things there. He says, flee youthful lust. That's the garbage. Get it out. But follow. Okay, so I can replace the lust with the right stuff. And then he says, follow. And there's four things he tells us that now that we know Christ, we have the ability to follow those things. Look at what they are. Number one, and it's in your handout if you turn your handout to the back page. What's the first thing there, church? Somebody tell me, what's the first thing? Right? What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing the right thing. Yeah, doing the right thing towards God, towards others, towards yourself. We have that power to follow the right path for our life. Instead of taking detours and dead ends all the time, we have the ability to now follow the right path. Number two is what?
Faith.
What is faith? Well, notice he says follow faith. So faith isn't just a warm and fuzzy feeling. Faith is something you actively follow. Everybody exercises faith pretty much every day. I know people can mock the idea of, oh yeah, you have faith, and they mock it, but everybody exercises faith pretty much every day. How many of you drove a vehicle to church? Raise your hand. That's one of those questions I'm hoping to see who's alive out there. All right. Most people didn't ride a bike. So you drove a car, right? So you're coming down Clyde Morris Boulevard at 50 miles per hour. Somebody else is coming the opposite direction towards you, and there's a few feet between you. That's faith. It is. You're trusting they're not going to come over and hit you. You go to the doctor. He gives you a prescription. You can't read it. You can't pronounce it. You take it to a pharmacist that you don't know. He puts a bunch of pills in a bottle, and you pop them in your mouth. That's faith. It is. It really is. I'm not being funny. It is. You get in an airplane, that's faith. People who know me know I don't like to fly. I've done it, but I don't like it. You're trusting the pilot sober and knows what he's doing. Amen. Right? That's faith. Right? We exercise faith every day. Everybody has faith in something. Your faith is either in yourself. You know, your faith is in another person. Your faith is in your education, your job. Your faith is, you know, in your money. Everybody puts their faith and trust in something. What's faith in the Bible? In your handout, it says that faith in the Bible, faith according to God's word, is just simply putting your trust and your confidence in the right thing. It's putting your faith in Christ who rose from the dead. It's putting your faith in God's word, the Bible, what God told you. All right? So we can follow faith. Somebody tell me, what's the third thing? What does charity mean? Follow what? Love. Charity means love. So I want you to write this in your handout because it's so true that love isn't a warm and fuzzy feeling either. Love is action. He says follow love. So you follow love as you follow Christ. Christ's resurrection gives you the power and the ability to truly love people. Not use people, but love people. So many times we use people. You know, I heard this one time. It's not in the Bible. It's just something I heard. It's the concepts in the Bible. But somebody once said that we should love people and use things. But so many times we flip that around. We love things and we use people. Christ's resurrection power gives you the ability to love people and use things. Not love things and use people. The fourth thing is what? Look at your verse there. It says, follow after righteousness, faith, charity. What's the fourth thing?
Peace.
You follow after things which make for peace in your life instead of following stress, conflict, and chaos. Now, let me tell you this. These four things we just named, righteousness, faith, love, and peace, those four things mean a lot more to you than what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, and what brand name is on your clothes. Because these things involve who you are and what kind of person, what kind of heart is inside those clothes. So they're name brand designer clothes. What kind of heart is inside those clothes? What kind of person is in that car? What kind of person are you inside that house? Who are you as a person? See, these things, righteousness, faith, love, peace, those involve who you are and what kind of person you are. They're much more valuable than what you drive, where you live, you know, what kind of clothes you wear. Jesus is alive, and his resurrection power is available to you. And he can give you power, yes, to remove the garbage out and then replace it with healthy things that we just talked about. But then there's one more thing. Look at the rest of that verse. Notice Christ's resurrection power gives us the ability. Look at the end of verse 22. He says, call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In your handout, it says that Christ's resurrection gives me the power to talk to God every day. And that's the key to everything. Listen, Jesus rose from the dead, but then what? If I was to go out and ask 100 people, Jesus, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Yes. Then what happened? I don't know that they would know. What happened then? The Bible teaches that he walked the earth for 40 days. After 40 days of being seen by over 500 people, then he ascended to heaven again with many eyewitnesses that saw him ascend to heaven. He goes up to heaven, and then the Bible tells us that he took an exalted position in heaven where he now acts as our mediator between us and God. So once you know Christ as your Savior, his Spirit lives inside of you, you now have the power to talk to God about anything and everything in your life. You can be yourself. He is your best friend. Christ represents you before the Father. He ensures that your prayers are being heard and that they're getting through. And I got good news for you. You do not need any religion, any pastor, any priest, or any religious leader to take your request to God. You can go directly to God through Jesus Christ. In fact, look in your handout. 1 Timothy 2:5, look at that verse. It says, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Pastor Dan. No, wait a minute, that's not what it says. It rhymed, that rhymed, but it's not in there. No, aren't you glad you don't have to look me up every time you want to talk to God, amen? Hey, look what it says. It says that there's one mediator, the man who... Christ Jesus. Power to talk to God means tapping in on that divine power for your daily living. Divine, endless resurrection power. This is the key. How do I get the garbage out? How do I replace it with all that good stuff? You talk to God. There's great power in prayer. By the way, you know what the next verse says after it says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? Next verse says, that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Do you know what that means? That means that Christ died for you on the cross. Every sin and every bad, evil thing that we have ever thought or done, he paid the penalty that we owed for us. He paid the ransom price to deliver us from where our sin was taking us, which was death. He delivered us from that. He beat death, and he resurrected. And now Christ makes available to you his life. There's a great verse in your handout there. I love it. Romans 6:23 is one of my favorite verses. Look at it with me. It's in your handout there. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news, right? That's where sin's going to take us. But, I love this, but... Can we bring it up on the screen up here? But the what? The gift of God is eternal. That means never ending what? Life through Jesus Christ. How do we get it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right. Now I want you to look up here for a moment before you kind of put your stuff up. And I want you to give me about 2 or 3 minutes because I want to end with an illustration here. Christ died for your sin. Now look up here. He died for your sin on the cross so that you could be forgiven of all your sins. Then he rose from the dead to ensure that you could have his very life for all eternity. And it begins not when you die. That eternal life begins the moment that you trust Christ. Will you trust Christ? Will you give your heart to him? Will you invite him to come and live within you? I want to paint a picture for you of what your life can look like with Jesus in it. And there's power to remove the garbage, power to replace it with healthy things, power to talk to God every day. And, you know, I had a friend of mine that sent me a picture this week. And normally I wouldn't think, that's a picture of this flower, and it's called a night-blooming cereus cactus flower. He lives in Phoenix area, which of course is the desert, and he sends me this picture, and go ahead and start the video. This is a video kind of showing you, this all is happening within like an hour, but what's interesting, what really caught my attention is that this cactus flower only blooms once a year. And it resembles nothing more than a dead bush the rest of the year, except for one night of the year. For one midsummer's night each year, this exquisitely beautiful, amazingly scented flower opens up as night falls. He got the picture at 10:30 at night. So as night falls, once a year it opens up and to this. And then it dies and withers away with the first rays of the morning sun. It's only open one night, and then it's gone. The cactus shows life every now and then, but not consistently on a daily basis. You compare that with something that we have in our front yard that my wife planted, and it's called knockout roses. And you know, these knockout roses, this is some of those. These knockout roses are amazing because they bloom pretty much all year long. She can cut them and she says they grow back. They're self-cleaning, the petals fall off on their own, and you know, you don't have to trim them or anything. And these roses bloom among the thorns. And they give off beauty and they show life consistently all year long. And I thought, you know, that, and if we could bring back up the picture of the flower, I thought, these illustrate two kinds of people right here. That's what my mind went to when he sent me this picture in the mail. This is my friend in Phoenix. People that don't know Christ, the people that don't have his resurrection power, they may have a good day. They may have a bright and shining moment every now and then, like the cactus flower. But when you know Jesus and you have his resurrection power in you every day, when he lives inside of you, you can be like those knockout roses and you can meet your potential and you can give off beauty each and every day, even among the thorns. You have power to face everyday life and beauty with Jesus. And you know, Jesus is called the Rose of Sharon. He's not called the Cactus of Sharon. He's called the Rose of Sharon. That's a name for Jesus in the Bible. And you know what? When that they put the rose to death, but then the rose bloomed on the third day. And when he bloomed then and forever, never to be put to death again. And that's the kind of life that he offers to his followers. Never-ending life. No matter what job you have, no matter where you live, no matter what circumstances you're facing, no matter what thorns may surround you, you can bloom like the knockout rose here. You can show forth the divine life of Christ in you. So the question is, will you accept Christ? You're like, yeah, man, I want Easter 2019 to be the day when I open up my heart to Christ. I accept him. I receive him. I want that life, Pastor Dan. I want that never-ending, life-changing life. I want to give you the opportunity to make that the day right now. Today is the day when you open up your heart to him. Let's just bow our heads right now.